Hello, dear friends. Once again, it's time for our midweek Bible study right here on our website. Let's Talk About Jesus is the name of our Bible study. We study the Bible from cover to cover down through the years. But the name of our Bible study, not just the subject of it at any given time, but the name of our Bible study is Let's Talk About Jesus. We claim that name for our radio broadcast years ago on a small radio station in North Florida, but it reached, because of the World Wide Web, it reached all over the world. Amen. We got people that contacted us from Australia and from Africa, and we have no idea how many people God directed to this little radio station on the World Wide Web. And then on our internet outreach, I remember when one of our brothers came in on a Sunday morning, and they were looking in the office, our webmaster, our web pastor, and they were looking at how many hits we had had to our website, and they were from all over the world, and it kind of came in waves. You could see God sending His word to this area, that area, all over the world. And through that, we have been enabled to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, keeping the Great Commission, with which we have a mandate from God. So we believe that we believe you're here by divine appointment, and I know I'm here by divine appointment. So let's keep this appointment with God, and let's obey His word that says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another." Praise God. Well, come gather with us around the Word of God today. If this is your second time, we consider you part of our listening family. If this is your first time, we welcome you. We pray that God will bless you as we get into His Word, and more importantly, as we get the Word of God in us today. Hallelujah. Our basic scripture for this teaching, the name of the Lord, our strong tower. If you're a Christian today, this is specific to we who have put our trust in Jesus Christ in the new covenant. It's an old covenant scripture, but this same God, this God who was in Jesus on the cross, who came in flesh to redeem us, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. There's peace in the Father. There is peace that made between us and the Father because of what Jesus did at the cross. He's broken down the middle wall of partition in order to bring us into the covenant with every literal Jew that has the lineage back to Abraham. For they that are of the household of faith, the New Testament declares, are Abraham's seed by faith, and the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. That's you and me if you're a Christian today. So the God that we're dealing with hasn't changed. The way He's dealing with mankind in the new covenant has changed, because we're under that wonderful, privileged, wonderful grace covenant. Hallelujah. That the blood of Jesus has created a new covenant established on better promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of bulls and goats. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe." And we're going to look at another name that was given to God because of the way He dealt with someone or some people in the old covenant, and they discovered him to be this to them. Now, the wonderful thing about this ancient time that we're reading from, hundreds of years before Christ was born and went to the cross, listen, and thousands, 2,000, 3,000 years, 2,500, 2,600 years till this day. What relevance has that possibly be to us? Well, the deal is this. God changes not. He's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. The way he deals with man has changed, but God has not changed. Whatever he was, he is, and he always will be. Praise God. So when we make a discovery of something of his person and his character, it is unchanging. What they discovered about Jehovah in the old covenant and what we discover about Jesus in the new will never change. Praise God. The name of the Lord that reveals his character, his very person, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. So we're talking about today Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. It's found in Judges 6:22 and other references in the Old Testament. Listen. And it says, and I'm going to read down through verse 24. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, in other words, I'm in trouble now, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." He literally feared for his life when this celestial being came and spoke to him. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not. Peace be unto thee, fear not. Thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizdites. Listen, the situation was dark and desperate for Israel. They had sinned against God and their enemies threatened to destroy them. That kind of rings true for this contemporary time and this last day time and what is happening in Israel right now. But the only safety was to return to God and then to rest in Him. Jehovah Shalom. I want to make a statement. Peace is found not in a biblical principle, but in a person initially. The Bible speaks of God as the God of peace. And the Bible speaks of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. In the Old Covenant, it said his royal title shall be Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And while each part of that is identifying him as the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him and indwelled him, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. But the most cherished part of those titles is Prince of Peace. Why? Because, and all of them are important, but what people grab a hold of is Prince of Peace, because the great need in a fallen world, and fallen men and women, boys and girls, all have been affected and infected by the fall of man in the garden. The great need today, the great cry today of our hearts and souls and minds is for peace. The Bible said of the wicked, and listen, before you think someone is standing here in a self-righteous, condemning way and speaking condescending, listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all need a Savior. And without Him, a person, we can never be reconciled to God, the God of peace. But through Him, we can be reconciled unto God. We have to understand the name of God, what God wants to give us in His very person. He wants to take away that enmity between us and a holy God, fallen man, women, boys and girls, and a holy God. He wants to establish a reconciled relationship with us. Dear friend of mine, the great cry of humanity today is for peace. People seek it through every way, but through the only person who can give it and grant it to us. And that's why there's so many problems with drugs and alcohol and all kinds of perversions and materialism and you name it. Everything that people can find to kind of blot out for a little while the reality of the fact that there's nothing you can acquire. There's nothing materially, there's nothing you can take chemically, there's nothing you can experience emotionally, mentally, that can give you this peace without the Prince of Peace and without the God of Peace in your heart and in your life. Amen. Nothing. For the Bible said the wicked, which we all were, if you're a Christian today, you were. Such were some of you. Amen. I should get an amen from everyone. You were lost before you got saved. Amen. And the peace was never found until you came to the Prince of Peace. I like the, you know, some church signs are goofy and some are just not biblical like they ought to be. Some are just cute. But sometimes they have some real substance, and I like the one that says, no, N-O, God, no, N-O, peace. But no, K-N-O-W, God, K-N-O-W, no, peace. The Bible says of us before we come to God and establish that reconciled relationship and have peace with Him, and experience peace from Him in our hearts and lives. Until then, the wicked are like the waters of the troubled sea, the Scripture declares, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, unto the wicked. No peace. Heard of a man giving a testimony that he had come to Christ. He couldn't get over the amazing grace that forgave his sin and reconciled him to God through the blood of Jesus. He came to receive a person. Peace doesn't begin with a biblical principle. It begins with a person revealed in Scripture. Jesus indeed is the Prince of Peace. And this particular man who worked for the mafia and he committed terrible crimes in his past, and now he had repented of his sin, received Jesus as his Savior. He said, I could literally rent an entire suite of rooms in one of the fanciest hotels in a major city here in America. He said, I could pay $10,000 a night for that room and have everything money could buy to eat and drink and experience. But I couldn't buy 1 minute's peace. You see, the Scripture bears out over and over and over again, there is no peace to the wicked, because our waters are troubled. Until David repented, he put it this way in Psalm 32. He said, when I held my peace, when I failed to deal effectively with the sin in my life that separated me from God, who is the God of peace, who grants me peace, who gives me peace, until I dealt with that, he said, when I held my peace, my bones waxed old with roaring. You can see the storm-tossed sea. You can hear the winds roaring. There is no peace unto the wicked. There is no peace except in and through Christ and with God. Oh, dear friend of mine, but listen to what David said. He said, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. That word blessed means happy to be envied. I'll tell you, if you've got the peace of God in your mind, in your heart, reigning in your life in these troubled times, it's going to set you apart. You're going to be like a city set on a hill. People are going to wonder about your hope. They're going to wonder about your peace because you're not getting it, trying to get it and achieve it through a chemical. You know, drug addiction will promise you peace, but it won't give you peace. It will numb you for a little while from the pain and the pressure, but you'll always have to take more and more to numb yourself. That's not true peace. It's not true peace at all, for the mind is so troubled it has to be numbed. It is said that when Michael Jackson had all that he achieved in fame and fortune and fans and money and wealth, that he wanted propofol. He wanted that they give people that are getting ready to go under surgery, something to put him unconscious. This is not like something to help you sleep. It was to put you unconscious because his mind was troubled at every conscious moment. And he finally took enough of it, begged for enough of it, I understand, as I read about it, until it finally took his life. And what he was seeking is what you can't buy with money. It doesn't happen with fame. It doesn't happen with some kind of flesh-satisfying sin. There's nothing we can purchase that will give us peace. But there's something that Jesus purchased for us at the cross that can give us true peace in our mind, in our heart. Reconcile us to God. I tell you, when you have the peace with God, you will begin to enjoy the peace of God in your life and in your heart. Praise God. Jesus said it best in John 16 and verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me, it starts with a person. He says to all of us that are under the heavy burden. I'm going to go back to Psalm 32. I'm just quoting right now. I don't have time to turn pages and make noises. Amen. I want you to hear the word for just a little while longer today. Blessed is the man. Happy to be envied is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. When I held my peace, my bones waxed old with roaring all the day long. He was king of Israel. He could have anything that he wanted and indulge himself in any sin he wanted. But there was a consequence to looking through those things and those sins for satisfaction, fulfillment, and peace of mind. He could not find it until he repented and knew he was forgiven. And then this very troubled king had peace. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, listen to it again. John 16 in the New Covenant, verse 33, Jesus speaking. These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Tribulation. There's no getting around it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is not the great tribulation. This word here is talking about all of the pressures, the painful situations that living in a faulty body in a fallen world creates. Tribulation in the Greek simply means pressure, affliction, anguish, trouble, persecution, pressure. Jesus promised us peace while under pressure. Notice, while having tribulation in the world, we are promised peace in Him. Glory to God. peace begins with reconciliation to God. And Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. And that was the message of Christmas. I know we're almost into the summer, hot part of the summer now. Here in Florida, it's already starting. Maybe a mild day here and there, but we can see the humidity and we can see the temperatures going up. But let me tell you, Christmas is not just a holiday. And certainly, it is more than a holiday for Christians. It is a holy day, but it's not a one day. It's something we celebrate because the message of that first Christmas is continuing to resonate in our hearts to this day. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God is saying, I'm taking the peace initiative. I'm giving you a peace child. He didn't give us peace because he was so tranquil and holy, and that was such a serene scene on that silent night in the manger. That peace was achieved when he grew to manhood, full manhood, and went to the cross. And according to Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, his punishment, you see, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, but God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, friend of mine, the chastisement of our peace means he took the punishment for our sins, so we didn't have to fear the wrath to come. We don't have to fear God in that dread of God. We reverence him with deep reverence and awe and affection. We love him because he loved us enough to give his Son for us. And Jesus loved us enough to give his life for us. Praise God. And we have this peace, peace of mind and peace in our heart and in our life. Even as we study the scriptures, the Bible said the things that were written aforetime, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, that you might have peace. The God of peace fill you with peace when you believe. Amen. And Jesus is the one that reconciles us to God. Hallelujah. Making peace between us, the go-between, hallelujah, our great high priest interceding for us with his own shed blood in our behalf. Oh, friend of mine, there's no way we can face the troubles, pressures of the end time, and it's going to continue exponentially. It's going to get deeper and wider as evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's going to create all of this trouble, this perilous times called the end times. Listen, friend, people are seeking peace through synthetics, through materialism, through all kinds of perversions, all kinds of so-called pleasures. Oh, friend, peace is in none of that. Peace is in a person, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, fill you with peace in believing. Jesus Christ said to you and me, cheer up, I've overcome the world, and now I'm going to lead you all the way through every step of your life. For lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I've overcome it, and you follow me. Amen. And I'm going to cause you to overcome everything that hell, everything that Satan and fallen angels and everything that evil, wicked people and every circumstance and weather condition and earthquake and volcanoes and shakings and quakings Jehovah Shalom. We can pray, commit it to God, because He's our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our High Priest and soon coming King. Hallelujah. And when we commit our way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, He's going to bring it to pass. Not just His will and eternal purpose for us, but the peace that He promised us. The prophet said in the old covenant, although the fig tree shall not blossom, troubled times, neither shall there be fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. The chief singer on my stringed instruments, to the chief stringer. I want you to sing this, not just say that. I believe He did that because He wanted it put to song, because He wanted us to sing it over and over and over, not to just say it one time, but to sing it over and over. Remind ourselves, God is with us. God is for us. I'm going to read this from the Amplified in closing. I like it. It says, "The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet." This young deer, you see, this one whose feet are designed for those high places. Amen. Listen, did you ever stop to consider? He hasn't promised to necessarily change your circumstances every time to give you peace. He has promised to change you. Hallelujah. If He makes your feet like hinds' feet, you can walk on the high places. But if you never have a situation where you find yourself in those steep, narrow straits, you'll never have peace. Never. But if you realize, no matter what happens, what circumstance I am in, He's either going to change the circumstance or He's going to change me and give me what I need through His grace and mercy and His strength. That's what Paul meant when he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It was the trials of life, the pressures of life, the trials and tribulations that he faced constantly. Amen. Yet he literally said, "These light afflictions, which are but for a moment." You can't say that without that peace in your heart. And that's why there's a piece of the spiritual armor that is underrated, undertaught, and therefore it is underacquired. And yet it's essential for all the rest of it to work. It's a foundation for it. Your shoes shod with the preparation. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Those peace shoes on your feet, that was the hobnailed boot of the Roman soldier who had all of these armaments and weapons, defensive and offensive. But what caused him to do what all of it was for? Having done all, stand therefore. That hobnailed boot of that soldier let him stand and fight to the victory. Praise God. It's warrior peace for effective warfare praying. Hallelujah. Amen. Friend of mine, I thank God that He's a God that is called the God of peace. And He seeks reconciliation with us so that we can experience peace with Him and peace from Him. And when we commit our way unto Him in prayer, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Let's run into this person's provision for us. Let's run to the God of peace. Let's trust in Him. Let me finish, Ample. I'm going to read that again till I'm done. This is, you got any shouting shoes? You might want to slip them on right now. Now, I say that little tongue in cheek, but I mean, this should cause you to want to praise God today as a believer. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not stand in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. Making progress through trials, progress as a result of the trouble, growing stronger, digging deeper in the Word, getting deeper into God. Hallelujah. Learning more about His person so that we run to Him. No matter what comes, what goes, the name of the Lord, dear friend, is my and your strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it. And we're safe. Praise God. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, I've quoted a scripture that if you're without God, the Bible said you're without hope in the world. If you're without God, the Bible said you're without hope in the world. You can have hopes that are constantly going to be dashed, hopes that are going to dissolve when the pressures get really great in your life, hope that's going to bring disappointment, disillusionment, and discouragement. When people lose hope, like some of our great comedians, Robin Williams made us all laugh. But when he had no hope of healing, no hope of help from above, he couldn't stand it anymore. And he took his own life. People are taking their life today all over the world. And the suicide rate among young people in the land of opportunity. I know we got trouble in America, but there's a whole lot of people who will trade troubles with us. They want to come in here. They want the opportunities that many people here just have forgotten about. That we have been blessed, and there's enough remnant blessing here to make people want to come here in any way they can get here to live a better life here. And yet there are many people giving up on life. They have youth. They have health. They have the potential for wealth if they work hard. But even if they achieve those things, the body will grow old. The mind will grow weary. The emotions will grow tired. And we will find ultimately that without God, the God of peace, and without the peace of God, without that hope that only He can give, then we are helpless and we are under deep, deep depression and fear, anxiety and frustration. We try to kill the pain, take away the pressure through chemicals and alcohol, through all kinds of addictions and all kinds of possessions. None of it can do what only Jesus can do. And here's what He says. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. I want to challenge you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that right now, that you will come to Him. Let Him become your Prince of Peace. Let Him give you rest for your soul. Because as long as we are in the wickedness of our sins, we will find no rest in this world. We will find no rest, no place where we can say, you know, I have help from above. I'm not orphanos. I'm not alone down here. I have somebody with me. We used to sing it. I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. And when trouble, not if, but when trouble overtakes me on life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. Jesus said, cheer up. Cheer up, all you that are under pressure. Dear friend, run to Jesus. Run to the Father. Come to Christ, repent of your sins, be reconciled to God. You'll have peace with God as He forgives all of your sin, and you will begin to experience the peace of God that'll keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Indeed, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe.